Hi, and welcome to the SEO Podcast, Unknown Secrets of Internet Marketing. My name is Chris Burris, one of the owners of EWR Digital.
And my name is Matt Bertram, the lead strategist at EWR Digital.
Lead digital strategist. Welcome back to another fun-filled edition of our podcast. Our numbering may be off. We're going to call this podcast number 546.
Ish, 46-ish,
and we're going to be excited to jump into five tips to improve your enterprise content strategy. We're going to get to that in just a point. It is by Christy Hines, so patif to her. Before we do that, we have a message from our sponsor. Our sponsor is SE Ranking, and they want you to go check out, well, after we'll give you the link here shortly, so hold on to your pants. And there's a special deal there. But before that, we're going to kind of talk about what you need to do once you get into that account. You're going to want to go check out their SERP analyzer. SERP is, of course, search engine result page. This is where you can actually compare all 10 of the pages that are on the first result page, right? All 10 of them, and you can compare them on a number of factors. So if you're in that top 10, you can say, hey, here's where I'm different from the rest. If you're not in that top 10, you can say, here's what is consistent about those that I need to improve in my own site. And those things that you can look at are going to be things like content and the keyword density. The page experience, which is, of course, going to be, you know, how fast is the page? Is there any shifting happening on the page? The backlinks and domain age, obviously backlinks, you know, the origin of the Google algorithm, key for your search engine for getting onto the first SERP, right? Internal and external linking. What does that look like for those top 10 positions? And ultimately, learning what pages occupy the top positions on the SERP. That's pretty easy to do, but this breaks it down into a report with details about each of those pages. Analyzing pages, various SEO metrics in depth to find valuable insights for you and the page you're working on. Understanding common patterns and identifying the main ranking factors for certain SERP. And then finding out what kind of content top players offer, what structure their pages have, and how well they are optimized. Before you go, Matt, because I know you have lots to say because you've been using this tool like quite a bit. I think it's interesting that they, in their text, they say the main ranking factors for a certain SERP, because only the first page matters, right? Like they're, because all of the pages are the SERP results, right? Page one, page two, page three. They're just saying the only SERP that matters, the only search engine result page that matters is page one, and they're absolutely correct. So like I co-sign that. I'm sure you've got something to add here.
Well, you know, a lot of times people say the first page on Google is the only thing that matters, but it's really the first position that matters, or the top three positions, even from position three to position one is a 200% increase in traffic, right? So a lot
just
of times,
three to one. Yeah. Huh? Just from three to one, from position three to one, 200%. Wow.
Yeah. So a lot of times people think your work's done when you get to the first page, and that's really when it's beginning. And that's when the competition is getting tough. I hear a lot of SEOs talk about, well, you know, we're hanging out on the top of the second page, or we've got you to the, second or third page. That the reason I guess people get frustrated with SEO is because, well, no one goes to the second or third page. So that's great that the needle's moved, but you need to be not just on the first page, but in the top positions to see that success happen. And that's why SEO takes so long, because it's wherever you are, either not ranked or ranked a number of pages back, to get to that first page and then move up and get in those top incumbent positions. And that's where you're going to get the real traffic and see the real value. And then over time, you're going to see the 10x, the 30x ROI that SEO does produce.
And this tool gives you like the background information, the reverse engineering you need to be able to do that. So we did squeeze them. They made an offer specifically for you, our audience. Typically, you can get a 14-day trial. Just go to their homepage. You don't even need us for that. Yeah. Oh, look at that right there. 1 month for free.
If you go to the SE Rankings and then best-seo-podcast.html. Not the best,
or
but
just go to best.
It is great, you know, it's still pretty cool because they made a page for us with our podcast cover on it, and then our exclusive offer right there. And boom, look at that. Like, just put in your information, it activates your code, and you get it for a full month. So really awesome.
And so thank you to SE Ranking. Matt gave a link. You can also use bestseopodcast.com/SE Ranking.
Yes.
Go check that out. The last time we aired a podcast, we actually had a couple of people join us, and a couple of people said some things that we think are worth sharing. Actually, it's on LinkedIn. John Santi was like, where's the laugh button? We appreciate that. We try to have a little bit of humor in our informative podcast. We like to be infotainment. And so thank you, John. And then Ron Gullery was like, just started a renewable energy consultancy. I truly believe you guys' suggestions are going to help me out a lot. Thanks, Roy. Patif to both Roy and John for reaching out to us. And if you're, you know, watching us live here, go ahead and comment. We'll see that. Are we live on
Yeah, LinkedIn? We're live on my LinkedIn page right now.
Cool.
So there's a lot of stuff that we're working on. Certainly encourage you to go check out some of our shorts. We've been chopping up a bunch of our videos and syndicating those out, and we've been having a good time with it. There's a lot of people that are liking and sharing our stuff and engaging, and we certainly want to help people out. We're giving away all the great information for free. If you watch this podcast, I have no doubt that you'll have learned a lot about digital marketing, probably more than a lot of people. Dean Link just said you're definitely live on LinkedIn. So that's cool. That's awesome.
Good job, Dean.
Yeah.
And yeah, so go ahead and make sure you follow us on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok. We'll give those links out at the end of the show. I say, without further ado, we just jump into this article by Christy Hines.
Yeah, let's do it.
5 tips to improve your enterprise content strategy. For digital marketing strategy, you'll need to consider how you approach email marketing, paid search, social media posts, and reputation management, just to name a few. And there's one thing that she says takes precedent over everything else, and that's content. And I actually disagree a little bit that content takes precedent, other than in this context. Content is actually necessary for all those things. You are not sending out emails without content. You don't have paid search without, 1, the content in the ad, and 2, the content on the landing page. You don't have social media posts that are actually doing anything of value without the content going into the post, and without, again, the landing page, the content on the landing page. And then reputation management is, of course, about the content that's out there.
But Chris, it could be bad content. I mean, there's good content, and there's certainly bad content, and bad content can actually do damage to your brand online and what you're trying to do. So having, I guess, a holistic approach, like, content is the core driver. Anytime there's a Google update, the number one thing you look for first, look at your content. And one of the things that Google's starting to do like crazy, we had a client come to us, onboarded like 6 clients last week. So, you know, doing a little bit of sales right there, but one of the clients, they had like 80 posts. Okay. 80 posts. Awesome. Tons of content. Google unindexed out of those 80, 76 of those posts.
Wow.
Those posts were not helpful and not useful. And of course, if you don't show up in the SERPs, then, you're not getting any help with the link equity, and link distribution. From that standpoint, so having quality content, especially with all these algorithm changes over the last 10 months, content is super important. Now, it's certainly a moving target, and there's some shifts that I'm starting to hear in some of the private groups that I'm in, and that sort of thing. But man, content is king. So
well, and she goes on to say, like, regularly posted and good quality content, insightful content is a proven way to improve brand awareness and build trust. You need high quality content that serves a purpose. And to do that, you really do need a strategy, a content strategy. You can think of it as your marketing battle plan. how are we going to battle against the other people who are, you know, doing digital marketing? And like any good plan, it needs to be detailed and comprehensive, down to what type of content you'll be posting, when and where you'll be posting it, and who is responsible for each element. I love the phrase, she didn't use it, I'm adding this, a failure to plan is a plan to fail. So make sure you're making that plan. And we're going to jump into five things to take your content.
And who's that quote by there, Chris?
I don't remember. A failure to plan is a plan.
We can make a little meme of that. I bet it's probably general use, but I'm sure someone said that important.
That could be, you know, first name that pops to mind is like Patton, General Patton. Okay. It could have been any of the kind of self-help gurus.
John, you know, help us out. You're falling. Help us out. Yeah. Look that up and add that, that quote with the right author. So we can give credit to that fantastic quote.
John or Dean, who are out there checking us out. Thanks for tuning in. All right. So let's jump into these five tips to improve your enterprise content strategy. Number one is think like a publisher, and this may not be obvious, but you know your brand inside and out, not just your brand, your products inside out. And that is a good thing. You want to know your product and brand inside out. It can be easy, though, to take certain knowledge for granted. And this taking certain knowledge for granted can certainly lead to frustration for your audience, right? Because you may be jumping over things that are obvious to you because you're knee deep in the brand, knee deep in the products, but you're skipping over information that helps people to take them along a journey. The simplest way to eliminate this is to think like a publisher.
You've lost me, but John did tell me it was Ben Franklin. So
awesome.
So you're quoting some really, you know, on old, the shoulders of giants, Chris.
Old
on the
dude.
Shoulders of giants. All right. Sorry. So you were talking about thinking like a publisher.
Yeah.
And you know what's funny is I don't think a lot of people understand the publishing business or even understand what a publisher does. So I'm glad that you talked about that because, you know, there's a lot of ins and outs and publishing's changed a lot, but you know, it said build your team, establish roles and responsibilities, build a workflow, gather feedback. All sounds like good project management to me. Certainly, and I think any role today, and especially with content, you do have to have a plan to get that information out there, to get it syndicated out there. You have to have roles and responsibilities. Something that I would also like to shout out to is EOS Worldwide, EOS Traction. We're going to be getting started with that next quarter. And there's a lot of great project management information in there. And I would encourage you, if you're looking to scale your business, to look at programs like that. I've gotten nothing but good feedback. And I'm in an organization with one of the founders. We started talking about it and had already familiar with his partner's book. And some of my team were actually reading it. I said, well, why don't we go ahead and do this thing? So we're going to be starting that. But understanding project management and those roles and responsibilities and communication channels and the workflow are so important. We also just brought on three new people on our team on Monday. So all of these things are critically important because someone comes in and they need to know what their roles are, what they're doing, who they need to talk to. And certainly from a leadership standpoint, we want to get feedback. So act like a publisher. I like it.
Yeah. Well, and you think about this, you're right. It may not be intuitively obvious from the beginning, but if you're in the content marketing game, you are a publisher. You're the publisher of that content. And she's saying
content producer, like, yeah.
There are people out there who publish things on a regular basis and they have a process and they understand how to do this. Let's learn from them. And she covers six and you mentioned them briefly, but let's kind of dig into these. So build your content team. Your team could include marketers, product team members, PR specialists, customer support reps, and IT. And I would suggest it includes all of them. Like those are all key roles that need to be included in this content strategy. Maybe not in every aspect of the meeting, but at least bring them in when they're necessary for the right pieces of this content. establish roles and responsibilities. So as people are coming onto the team and participating, what are they going to do? Outline those roles and make sure that people are aware of what their responsibilities are. Build workflows. So here's where you want to write out exactly how your process works to ensure everything goes through the correct channels for approval. This may include looping in brand specialists, executives, and the legal team, which she actually didn't mention up and build your content team. Include the legal team for sure. And the more kind of legally on the edge, if you will, your product may be, then you want to make sure you include them even more regularly.
I understand what you're saying, Chris, on that. And certainly it depends on the content and the topic, but like, I would think that the lawyers just don't want you to open your doors every day, right? The lawyers are going to put a kink in whatever you're doing. Like, they're always, the answer every time I talk to our lawyer, no.
You should not do that. Yeah. No, and you and I have had conversations about attorneys, and where like you get a good attorney who's like, listen, in general, like if you don't open your doors, you can never get sued. And if you do this, you'll get sued immediately. So let's figure out where the business case is between those. Those are attorneys that you want to work with on a regular basis. So wow. You attorneys are legal experts. We'll do a special
podcast on lawyers.
Yeah. Attorneys are legal experts, and you're supposed to take expert advice and process it into your business model.
And we do legal marketing. I'm going to just, what is it called? It's a shameless plug.
Yeah.
We do legal marketing out there to everybody.
No, well, first off, all of our marketing is legal. Yeah, and then we also market for attorneys. Legal marketing. All right, next, gather feedback. Too many businesses neglect social listening. And I would argue that bigger, the more enterprise scale the business is, the more likely, you know, the people who are in charge of making marketing decisions are less in contact with the customers and how they're really doing the social listening. You should be actively taking part in the conversation customers are having about your brand. And those conversations should be brought up to really the content team and in this content strategy. Unify your digital efforts. General marketing and paid media should work to mutually reinforce one another. We've walked a number of enterprise level customers through this process where they, when they came to us, they're really just doing general, and I'll call that more traditional marketing, and blending it in, not with necessarily with paid, with the full digital marketing, full array of digital marketing methodologies has been really insightful for them and frankly very profitable.
So Chris, a couple things there. So just to talk about unifying your marketing, a lot of times clients will go out there and they'll run a TV ad or they'll run a radio ad, and they won't build a support structure to kind of catch that rain, if you will.
Yeah.
And I have, last year, one client ran a TV ad, one client ran a radio ad, not through us, and got like zero ROI from it. And how do you spend $20,000 or $30,000 to get zero ROI?
Painfully.
Painfully, yeah. Well, you would think that you got to get something at least. One campaign was run a radio ad in Russia to target investors in the US, but they had no landing page. They had no reference this, they had no connection to it, but they didn't see any improvement in what they were currently doing. And so there was a whole kind of rain catching mechanism that we needed to build out for them. And if we would have known that they were doing that, we could have helped, right? Another client came to us and said, hey, you know, digital, right? And digital is usually the shiny object for the big Fortune 500 companies. But this company had been doing digital for a long time with us. They're about an 8-year client or something like that. And they're like, we want to run TV ads. They just wanted to, everything was doing is working. They had good money and they had money to burn a hole in their pocket. So they're like, we're going to do a TV ad. Right. And there's a couple big, voices, in the community in the Houston area that do really well on TV. They ran a TV ad and nothing. Right. And they came back to us and they're like, oh, that was a mistake. you know, what if we gave you that money, what could you do?
what could have happened had we given you that money?
Yeah,
you
don't want to know. And really, you know, really taking TV, moving it to OTT and CTV, taking radio or terrestrial radio, moving it to streaming, taking print and moving it to different news sites. There's a digital alternative or medium to everything because people don't change, but maybe how they're consuming this content that you're creating might change or may change or does change. And so doing that. And then really quickly, just even going back to gathering feedback, the listening tools on the enterprise level, Chris, when I was asked to be the fractional CMO for the podcast network, for the Oil and Gas Podcast Network, Global Oil and Gas Network, the only vendors that seem to be reaching out to me in mass are almost all listening tools. Almost everybody that's offering to help us is listening tools. So certainly on the enterprise level, there's a lot of data, and taking that metadata and putting it in a format that is useful that you can use in different ways is certainly advantageous. And I would just say listening tools, I think depending on where you're at and the type of companies you're working with, are not as important, because sometimes you don't have enough time to understand or listen to what other people are doing. You're just like trying to keep the boat afloat, right? Yeah. And so again, I think in the life cycle, all these things have its place, just like SEO has its place, because it's a tool in the tool belt, and it needs to be used in the right place, which I believe is your core strategy, but I digress. All right, let's keep going. Sorry, I know I'm getting a long way here.
So one of the last concepts behind thinking like a publisher is invest in the right CMS technology. That, of course, stands for content management system. You want to put that technology to work for you. Platforms like WordPress, Shopify, and Squarespace can greatly simplify your workflow. With the right CMS, you can manage your content across channels without needing to write a single line of code. That's very appealing, because it turns out that people who are good at creating content aren't necessarily good at writing code. Very two different mindsets. They don't really intersect very often. All right, and so number two, and this is five tips to improve your enterprise content strategy. Number two is make sure everything fits into your sales funnel. I would almost replace fits with focuses on your sales funnel.
Leaky funnels. Don't have a leaky funnel.
Conversions are the name of the game. And she makes the point that that those conversions are usually sales, but they may be clicks, they may be newsletter signups, they may be, I don't know, a strategy session, scheduling. That would be one of our conversions on our site. And so, but they are name of the game. And content marketing is about telling a story. It needs to have an emotional hook that helps change a target's actions, thoughts, or feelings about your brand. All your online and offline marketing needs to align with your brand's narrative and correspond to a step in your sales funnel. That means that all your content, not some of it, all of it needs to work together to move your targets further along the sales journey. And successfully accomplishing this means having a rock solid strategy before you get started. Without that strategy, you're just going to be throwing people around the funnel, near the funnel, maybe in the funnel, maybe in the wrong section of the funnel, so they're not ready to convert, and you're doing a full on sales page. Like, you've got to have a good strategy for where you're sending people.
You're doing a great job, Chris. Keep
Then I shall move on. Number three, on how to improve your enterprise content strategy, refine and document your editorial process. And as I was reading this, I thought of a book. I'll talk about that in a second. It's important that every piece of content goes through the same exact editorial process. The first step in this is evaluating your process. Is everything being looked at by multiple sets of eyes for mistakes? Matt, you have a phrase for that? What is that phrase?
Three eyes before it flies.
Three eyes before it flies. I'm going to just do the math here and actually say it's six eyes before, because each person has two eyes.
Yeah.
If they're
fair enough. Fair enough. You get the idea. it's not as good as your Benjamin Franklin quotes, I know.
Sometimes it's difficult for writers despite their own mistakes. I mean, that's the reality. And sometimes, you know, maybe one, even an editor is focused on, okay, they wrote it. I trust that they wrote the right stuff. I'm going in here and I'm doing the editing and making sure that it's, you know, proper English and you know, proper format and right tone and everything. And then that third person is going like, why'd we write an article about that? Like, that's not what we should have, like, that article isn't relevant. Although if you have a good strategy in place, then that article would have been written for the right thing. This made me think of the E-Myth, right? And if you haven't read the E-Myth, I couldn't recommend it more. I don't care if what aspect of marketing you're in. The E-Myth is actually an amazing book. E stands for entrepreneurial myth. And it goes through the process of like, hey, I'm a technician. That's the terminology they use in the book. Technician could be, thank you both, by the way. if you read the comments.
It's so true.
So the technician could be the donut maker or the auto mechanic or the coder. And they're the technician. And you see an opportunity to deliver value to more people. You see potentially an opportunity to make some more money because you own the business. And now all of a sudden, you're a coder who has to do payroll and everything else. And those are not skill sets that you're probably adept at from the beginning, and then you have to adapt to them. And this book is a phenomenal walk through that and really does talk about having the right processes and procedures in place to make sure that your business delivers value consistently. And that's actually what you want from your content marketing strategy.
Well, you know, I'm going through that right now, right? So we're scaling a business quite quickly. And there's a lot of skill sets that are different from digital strategy or SEO that go into that. And a lot of these things ring true. I think that there's a lot of learnings and takeaways in this area, certainly even with funnels, which I know you talked about previously. I feel like if I even open the door on some of these things, we're going to go over by 30 minutes per section. we weren't moving along very quickly. And
two and a half hours.
But you know, there's a lot of things, hopefully, as we continue to hire more people that we'll be able to do. But scaling a business and running a content department does take different skill sets, does take different people. And a lot of what this is talking about is really having a good business, having a good process, because good content, certainly it does happen by accident, but it doesn't happen consistently by accident. Yeah. And the people that are like, we just had, by the way, Chris, I don't know, I was looking at analytics, our YouTube page, which we've been working on the shorts, has grown since this month so far by 7,500 views.
Oh, so, awesome.
Yeah. So, but that again,
that's more than three eyes.
Yeah.
That's 75. That's 1500 blinks. Eyes.
Blinks. It was really blinks, you know? but that didn't, like, it doesn't just happen, right? We produce great content all the time, I believe. And you have to put together a strategy to get that content out there, to get the YouTube algorithm to understand what it is. There's a lot more to do, but really just kind of touching the surface on doing some of the best practices, doing some of the right things, and making it a goal and an effort to focus on will move the needle and makes a difference. And as an SEO person, that just getting that instant gratification of making some changes and seeing the result of it is it's fuel to the fire. So I would just really encourage you to establish a good plan, work that process, and let Google help you do the rest. And YouTube is Google. So I'm still saying the same thing.
Yeah. And to kind of continue, right, this goes back to E-Myth principles, refine your process, and then document with detailed step-by-step instructions. Be sure to always keep your brand in mind. That includes like fonts and images and the tone your audience has come to expect from you. Make sure every content creator is familiar with these things. One, positioning. Your brand narrative should include the pillars your content is built on. Two, your values, your issues, what issues are important to your brand. And these can be actually political or geopolitical. You know, they mentioned civil rights issues. Maybe those are important to your brand and you want those expressed, maybe not overtly, but, you know, as an undertone. Ecology could be one of the issues that's important to your brand. Perception. What does the media say about your brand? And what
ecology is one of the issues.
Okay. Well, yeah, I think I, as an example, if you're an ecologically focused, well, look at Tom's, I think it's Tom's Shoes, right?
Yeah, no. Yeah. I was half listening. I apologize. And I was like, I think yes, that is absolutely true.
Yeah. And you know, there's lots of ways to kind of really fold this into the messaging.
Your carbon footprint.
Yeah.
Going forward, you will be taxed on your carbon footprint.
It's inside the company.
21.
You will be taxed you. Aggressively.
You're gonna breathe
until you're cows, happy.
The methane, the end of the world. Did you hear this, Chris? They're building a big bubble to block the sun or something like that. They're building basically a big bubble in space. The size of Africa or something like that, or Australia to that's block the big. Sun. Isn't that an interesting idea?
That's not that big.
See, I'm telling you, we could take this podcast so many different ways. No, I'm invested in a crypto startup that that basically measures carbon credits and basically carbon offsets and Standard & Poor's. So I think ecology is absolutely important. Yeah.
Absolutely. Other things that everybody on the team needs to be aware of: your audience interests. Like, where are your customers talking about? Where are they talking about things? Where and how are they interacting with your brand? And also historical performance, right? So what kinds of content have traditionally worked for you and what has definitely not worked for you? Search behavior. What are your targets searching for? What phrases are they using? And then finally, customer support. What are the recurring support issues that you keep hearing from your customers? Once you identified your brand narrative, it will be a lot easier to craft an effective content strategy and help to change your customers or potential customers' behavior. Absolutely key to make sure that you've refined and documented your editorial process. Next is to review, refresh, and replace. That may sound like just editing, like having an editing process, but it is a lot more valuable than that. You can create the type of content that will have a long shelf life, and you'll be able to generate traffic, clicks, and interaction for months or even years. That's the kind of stuff you want to do. That's called evergreen content. Other pieces, I love this description. Other pieces will burn brightly for a short period of time and then just disappear.
News.
Yeah.
Google News. Get Google News approved and hit that news cycle and pump out those press releases. The news cycle's about every 28 days. So once a month, you should be doing a press release.
Yep.
Pro tip.
To stay in. That is a pro tip. We need like a sound. Woo! Pro tip. Woo. Pro tip.
Well, hey, this is the Punch in the Face podcast. We wanted to bring it back on TikTok to go all the way back old school. We tried to get a little bit more PC, right? Like PTIF, what it stands for. Punch in the Face.
Punch in the face. We're proud of it.
Punch in the face marketing, like in your face. Like, here's what you need to do to move the needle.
Yeah.
Trade secrets.
And John is saying we're giving away trade secrets, and
that is all this podcast is literally giving away intellectual property, just spewing it everywhere, all over the place, all over all the podcast channels. Just it's dripping.
Identify what needs to be removed. Maybe that last comment. What should be replaced and what needs just a minor refresh. Review your existing content. Go through your existing traffic, analyze your competition, and check out industry resources. What types of topics keep popping up again and again, regardless of how long ago they were published? So that's where you want to use the tools in Google to allow you to look at what were the relevant search terms related to a particular search term you're targeting, and how much volume was there? And if that's a question that's been asked for the ages, you know, what is the meaning of life? Then that could be really solid evergreen content.
Well, Chris, one of the things that I really am seeing that's ranking quite well is people that keep updating content, like the top, you know, top things to do in 2022, which was actually an article that was, you know, in the slug, it's not 2021 or 2022. It was just general. And then what you can see is they keep updating it with like a new paragraph. And every time it's being updated with a new paragraph, it gets re-indexed by Google. Google sends it to the top again. And basically, because it keeps getting sent to the top again, links are being generated. It's high quality content. You can see it keeps building on it, so it continues to stay relevant. Google ranks that kind of stuff really well. I've seen a couple blogs that have done that, and it was actually a strategy that I'm working on for some of our EWR brands, and we'll probably roll out to some of our clients in the near future. A lot has gone into content and how to repurpose content, how to refresh content. Old blogs, if they're not getting traffic on your site, maybe combine them with another blog and then repost it, change the title, really look to optimize for the titles and meta description. People don't do that. They just put it out there and then they do all the work to republish something. If you created a good piece of content, take a little bit of time to retweak it to see if you can get some traffic to it or connect it to other things. There's probably just how it's positioned is where it's not getting the shine. You were talking about shine earlier, that it needs to get or you believe should get. Don't just go build another piece of content, right? Don't just throw it away. I know we live in a disposable world, but I think taking that piece of content, and if you think it's valuable, try to rework it and resend it to Google, re-index it with Google. Typically on YouTube, for example, there's an audition period, which is like the first 7 days of the content of how well it performs. There's the same thing on all the other platforms. It's a little bit different. And Google has a audition period basically to see how this content does, to give it a little bit of visibility and see how much engagement there is. And we saw that. I think my first post that we did on TikTok got over 10,000 views. And it's only been downhill from there.
Still figuring out the TikTok.
Yeah.
All right. So that's evergreen content. And Matt's exactly right. Keep retweaking it or combining it with other content if it's not doing that well. And then the suggestion that Christy has is either completely avoid news, trends, or technology, or create it and understand that that's going to be the thing that has the shorter life. That's going to thing that, that burns brightly for a short period of time and then go on. And then once you have a good piece of evergreen content posted, keep promoting it, right? Keep pushing it out to your to your social media channels and potentially pay some paid money going to that particular post if it's doing well. And if it's evergreen, you don't just forget about it and say, hey, it's got great search traffic. There's other places that it can provide value to your customers and your potential customers.
Yeah. Well, John on LinkedIn is asking, where can one find how Google's rewarding and penalizing sites, content, etc.? Chris, I'll turn that over to you.
Well, so one thing that you can do is look at now you're looking rewarding and penalizing. And I think Google would specifically say that it doesn't reward or penalize websites in general, unless it's an actual manual penalty. And then you can find out about that. It used to be Webmaster Tools. It's Search Console. I think it's Search Console now. So you want to get registered for Search Console.
Well, yeah, Search Console. Yeah, you need to, we've actually had some enterprise accounts not having that set up. So the difference between Search Console and analytics, which I don't know if that's exactly answering his question, but Search Console is all the traffic that comes to your URL. And then analytics is actually once the pixel fires and what they do on your site. So you can get where that traffic is. But I would say using the different listening tools like SE Ranking, for example, to see how you're doing in the rankings to understand if Google's liking what you're doing or not liking. And really, Google's looking at what users are liking and not liking and how they're interacting with your site and how they're searching and how they're clicking through your stuff. And so these kind of tools will help provide that visibility that you're looking for to expand it. Certainly there's, tips and tricks out there in addition to that, but looking at keyword ranking and keyword volume and research and difficulty, like all these things that we keep talking about roll into that. But I would just say use SE ranking to see how your site's doing versus other sites, as well as how you're doing against yourself to get to that top position in Google.
And search, I just referenced Search Console because if you do have a manual penalty, it'll show up.
You can go in there and check it and you can and resubmit. And we've had a lot less clients have that recently. I think Google's kind of moved away from that. They've used the algorithm to dampen or promote different things based on what they're looking for as far as actions. Search Console, if you do have a manual penalty and you can't figure out what's going on, that's a really good place to search. And like I talked about before, that's where I was realizing that client that had all those blogs wasn't getting indexed. There are some manual ways and Boolean searches that you can do in Google for some of that stuff. But Search Console is really giving you the data straight from Google. It's like the direct feed of what's happening there. And then I would say also, if I haven't talked about it before, July 1st, Google stopped reporting data in Google Analytics, and you need to go set up GA4 or hire somebody to help you do it, or you're going to lose all your content, right? So really, they're just not going to be adding new content into data. It going forward. So you want to roll that content over so you don't have a gap, I guess, in what's going on.
When you're saying content, you really mean the data, like the analytics data.
I got to be better, more precise with my words. Yes, I'm looking at what John's saying here, and I'm thinking content, and we're talking about content. But yes, I'm talking about other
data.
Things.
Yeah. So, all right. So number five, this is the last of the enterprise content strategies. Your content strategy should include it's use your network. Your strategy should include more than just your own domain, right? We're talking about backlinks. Guest blogging is a great way to increase brand awareness and generate backlinks. If your guest post is on a site that your audience already trusts, it will automatically lend you authority and credibility in their eyes. That thing seems pretty obvious. Reach out to industry sites and influencers that your customers may follow or potential customers may follow or like to build a mutually beneficial relationship. Share not just your own content and blog posts, but those from other people in your sphere. If you're sharing content that your listeners and your potential customers already respect, you're associating yourself with that person, and there's a natural draw to you and guilt by association or value by association because you're posting those content. Be sure to tag the publication, the author, and people mentioned in the article, because then you can get follows and start building up relationships with them. Make sure you're including other relevant and link-worthy sources in your own content. Again, this opens the door for creating reciprocal links. That's use your network.
So I can sum this up, Chris, in one word. Bow tie. It's the bow tie strategy, right? Yep. So you want other people linking to you that are talking about an authority in the space that you are in, and then you want to be linking out to them and cross sharing that stuff. So basically, all hands connected, singing kumbaya of people in your industry, of the leaders in your industry. You want to be associated with them. You want them to be associated with you. You want to be sharing good, high quality content. You want them sharing good quality content. And then, Google knows a lot of those things as the machine learning gets better and better, and you get pulled up, all cream rises to the top, or whatever that analogy is. We're going on with all kinds of analogies today. But bow tie is what I would say to that. And Certainly, utilizing your network expands beyond just Google. And Google's looking at Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and indexing those. They've made up with Facebook now. And that is even going to expand, I believe, into the metaverse, et cetera. And really, if you're a brand, Google loves brands. We've talked about that a lot in past podcasts. And if you're somebody that people are talking about, and your brand, and people know, like, and trust you and share your stuff, and that's what Google's looking for, is it's trying to replicate what happens in the real life online. So the more you can do that and make those connections, that's why joining chambers or joining associations, or, you know, posting on different social media sites and where you've been and what you're doing. Google's trying to mirror in the digital world what's going on in the real world. And it's trying to assess and establish and share content to people that would typically be in person in your network. So the more you can create that online, and certainly on Google, as we're talking about, moves forward. And really what backlinks are, more than anything else, is a vote in your direction.
Yep.
And we talked about content, or what I was seeing, the changes as Google as a moving target earlier in this. What I'm actually seeing, which is super interesting to me, is a lot of this AI writing, and the future of SEO and what's happening there. And some of this AI writing, as we saw in one of our previous podcasts, go check out our special Cabo edition. but it's getting so good that really the core algorithm was based on links. They've kind of turned that dial down recently. But what I'm starting to hear in some of the private groups that I'm in is that is being turned back up. They always tend to go back to backlinks at some point or another, because that is that vote. So certainly when, also what I would even tell you is on social media, Facebook will kind of penalize you if you like a bunch of people's stuff too quickly. They actually want you to look at content and consume it and like maybe every third post, and they want you to spend on average, like I remember, it was like 7 minutes or something like that for three likes, or like, because what they're trying to do is get you to stay on that platform longer and truly consume that content. And it weighs that kind of stuff differently. It gets a little more technical, but it's how the algorithm works. A lot of interesting stuff on buyer behavior. Certainly Silicon Valley's figured that out, but use your network. I think the last thing I'll say is, someone said, if you have a network of 1,000 raving fans, that's all you need.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's all you need. All right. Well, let's wrap this up. Good content starts with a good strategy. Developing a good content strategy does require a bit of work. Generally speaking, the more work you put in up front, the easier it will be when it's time to create and implement that content. Make sure your strategy is built around unique content that you can leverage cross platforms to promote your social media presence, improve SEO ranking, and build relationships. Punch in the face to Christy. Like, that's a really good article on 5 tips to improve your enterprise content strategy. Pretty awesome.
Yeah, no, let's just wrap up with talking about our sponsor, SE Ranking. I know I didn't say a lot early on, but I have in past podcasts. This tool, I really had to, when I started using it, Chris, I had to force myself to use it, because the other tools, I'm just more comfortable with the layout and what's going on. But once I really did that, which again, it probably takes more than 14 days to do that, it became a habit. And now it is my go-to first tool. And we have about 7 SEOs on our team now. So full-time SEOs, we've got about 7 of them, I think, maybe 8, I can't remember. Maybe that's a contract. But what I would tell you is, I am encouraging and pushing for to have other people use this tool and the great data that they're sharing. They're buying data from all the different Google data centers. You can get granular data. They're showing you traffic from other sites, which is certainly helpful. You can see paid, you can see SEO, keyword rankings are updated daily. I mean, there's so many good things. There's even additional pieces of this tool. They're coming out with beta version. So I know that some of the other platforms are, what did I read somewhere? They might be starting their own search engine or something like that. I can't remember what they were doing, but these guys are investing in this tool and helping you get that edge to help you grow your business. So if you're an SEO out there, I would encourage you to go check out our free offer, bestseopodcast.com/SE ranking. I also did put the link in the show notes, but also actually in the chat. And I would encourage you to check it out. It's super affordable. It's actually the most affordable. So best value, most affordable, can't beat it, right? Month free, go check it out.
Yeah. And the way you go check it out is you go to bestseopodcast.com/SE ranking. Again, normally 14-day trial. We squeeze them and you can get by using that link.
You Chris,
can get
you're so ranking. Mean. Everybody totally believes that you totally like held them down. And
oh, yeah. I don't know. I've seen.
Punch them in the face. No, I'm just kidding.
Not kicking the shins. I've seen, I've watched my son do a lot of jujitsu. So I took my jujitsu knowledge.
So you stared him down through we stared. Yeah. Yeah. I also want to really acknowledge Chris for being a great partner and a great mentor. And Chris is awesome to work with and work for. And everybody that's part of EWR is lucky to have such a great environment. And he is the nicest, most genuine guy. He is just being facetious. He is so nice. And we also love SE Ranking. They're a great, great sponsor. We've been working with them on a lot of different things. And we're just excited to be here. And I think, Chris, next week we're going to be live back in the studio for some live podcasts. So I'm pretty excited about that.
I think you're out part of next week.
Next time we're going
to
do
podcast. Next time we get together, we'll actually be together in the same room. We're excited about that. We recognize that. Has a dynamic that's a little better than a Zoom call. So excited to put that in place. And if you're getting any value out of this podcast, we're going to ask you to just do a couple things. If you're watching on YouTube right now, make sure that you subscribe and click that notification bell. Or you can just, if you're not, go to youtube.com/bestseopodcast and subscribe and click the notification bell. Check out some of our shorts that are over there.
Yeah.
You can go to our instagram.com/thebestseopodcast. Yeah. So on Instagram, you have to use the. So instagram.com/thebestseopodcast. That'll take you to our IG page. And then on TikTok, like Max said, some of those views, some of those videos out there have 10,000 plus views. It's pretty awesome. They're really short snippets of great tips and ideas to help your business succeed, help your marketing succeed. That's tiktok.com. And then you have to do @ best SEO podcast. So use that @ best SEO podcast. And finally, if you would like to grow your business with the largest, simplest marketing tool on the planet,
punch in the face of the internet.
Go to EWRdigital.com for increased revenue in your business. Once you are at EWRdigital.com, you will see, you cannot miss, it's impossible to miss, click the free consultation button and just go through that process and schedule a time. That is a CTA for us. Click the free consultation, schedule a time. That is what we're pursuing there. You get a custom profit plan, and we've got lots of testimonials about people who have received value from going through that process. So I don't know if you're interested in receiving value from people who are associated with the best SEO podcast, go and click that free consultation button. Anything else to wrap up?
Yeah. I mean, I would make one addendum to what you said. I don't know if that's the right word, but if you would like to get some consulting, Best SEO Podcast, we do have one-on-one consulting. That is a paid consulting session. We've been doing a lot of those. Now, if you are a business, EWRdigital.com, going to the free consultation to get a discovery call. There's a little bit more details. It is a 20-minute call. We do identify and highlight some of those high-level concerns that you could improve yourself, or if you want to engage us for further work. We do have audits, workshops, consulting, and retainer work and project work available. We are open for business.
All right. So if there's nothing else, let's wrap this up. My name is Chris Burris.
My name is Matt Bertram.
Bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye for now.